This morning, we will really focus on this Old Testament reading and also the Gospel reading. And there's, on the back of the bulletin, there's somewhat of an outline with a few places to fill in blanks. But really what's repeated there on the back of the bulletin and what you'll be referring to is some of these passages from Jeremiah 7 and Matthew 19. To start, I reread from Matthew 19. And Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember when we were in Ghana, we were missionaries there from 1992 to 98. Something happened. Soccer is very popular in Ghana and much of Africa. Something happened to the Ghana soccer team. We were in the northern area, and so we didn't have television and even radio that much, but we heard something that happened. The whole Ghana soccer team was fired. They were all fired. And that really made an impression upon us, and that was a tragedy. It's like, they're called the Ghana Black Stars. That's their national team. They were fired. They lost too many games. They fired them all. And I was thinking about that, and I'll relate that to our Old Testament text, but I wanted to look that up. Well, of course, in the 1990s, the internet wasn't around too much, and nothing was published on that. But I ran across this article about the Ghana soccer team from January 3rd, 2020. January 3rd, 2020. The title of the little article is Ghana Soccer Association Fires All Coaches. They did it again. And it's just a little couple short paragraphs. I want to read this to you. So this is from January 2020. The Ghana Soccer Association has fired all its national team coaches in a drastic and unexpected move. That includes the coaches for the men's and women's senior national teams, and all men's and women's youth teams, and all nine coaches were removed. The Ghana Football Association, remember, football is called soccer in Ghana and much of Africa. The Ghana Football Association said it, quote, dissolved the technical teams of all national teams with immediate effect, and, quote, extends its appreciation to all coaches and members of the respective national teams for their contributions. I find that last part kind of interesting. Thank you for your help, but you're all fired. The Ghana Football Association gave no reason for the decision. The move means that Kwasi Appiah has been fired as coach of the men's senior team for the second time. Appiah appears to have paid for Ghana's disappointing Africa Cup of National campaign last year in Egypt, when the Black Stars lost to Tunisia on penalties in the last 16. The decision to start again with coaching staffs of all national teams came soon after the GFA, Ghana Football Association, announced the appointment of a new general secretary. Appiah was the coach of Ghana from 2012 to 2014, He lost his job to former Chelsea manager Avram Grant, but was rehired in 2017. Ghana is a four-time African champion, but won its last continental championship in 1982. It has lost three African Cup finals since then, two of them in penalty shootouts. The team was in the spotlight at 2010 World Cup of South Africa, when it became only the third African team to reach the quarterfinals. It only just missed out on the semifinals by losing to Uruguay again on penalties. Last paragraph. Listen to the last paragraph. I've been noticing this a lot. Don't they sometimes leave the most important information to the last paragraph? Last paragraph of this little article. But there's been trouble at the Ghana Football Association in recent years. It was disbanded by the country's president in 2018 following allegations of widespread corruption in the game in the West African country. Amid the scandal, the president of the GFA was banned for life by the Federation International Football Association, FIFA. Banned for life. And the vice president of the African Soccer Confederation was caught in a documentary accepting $65,000 in cash from undercover reporters posing as businessmen. Fired them all. Yes, you were corrupt. But we have a stadium. Doesn't matter. You're fired. You're corrupt. But there's people who want to watch us. Doesn't matter. You're fired. You're corrupt. But we have a temple. But if you don't amend your ways, you will not last. The prophet Jeremiah, his ministry covered from about 626 BC to 586 BC and a little bit longer. In 586 BC, Jerusalem was conquered and destroyed, and the temple with it. And Jeremiah's task, if you read through all of Jeremiah, his task over and over again was to tell the people this. You can shorten it to this phrase: amend your ways, or there will be destruction. In our reading for today from Jeremiah 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in the place. Do not trust these deceptive words. What are those deceptive words? This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. What the people were doing at Jeremiah's time is that we have a temple. Of course, we're going to stay forever. It doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what we believe. We have the temple. That's the lie. The lie is, well, if you have a building, you must be right. It must be true. If you have an institution established, a legal organization, it must be right. It must be true. We know intellectually that that can't really be right. Just because you have a building, God is with you. Because there's all kinds of buildings, aren't there? There's Muslim mosques who deny that Jesus is the Christ. There's all kinds of buildings that have different religious beliefs but don't include anything about Jesus in those beliefs. Not that he is the Son of God. And even some Christian churches would really doubt whether Jesus is the true Son of God in their teachings. So we have all these teachings and variety of teachings. So just because you have a building doesn't mean that God is with you. That was the fooler. That was the belief at Jeremiah's time. We had the temple, we had the temple, we had the temple. We're okay. But this message from Jeremiah says, no, that does not guarantee that you are okay. So what is pleasing to God? Not that you just have a building, a temple. He goes on in the very next verses. And I would summarize it, one way to summarize it is, treat other people with love as God has loved you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Treat other people with love. He says there in verse 5 of Jeremiah 7, for if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, listen to this list. If you truly execute justice with one another, be fair with one another. And verse 6, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the stranger, the sojourner, that was a word, it's the one who is journeying through, the stranger. If you don't oppress them, if you don't take advantage of them, if you do not oppress the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow, if you take care of them, that is what God is looking for. or if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, or if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, not other gods, other religions, but to worship the one true God. He says in verse 7, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. To take care of one another, to love and take care of the weak. Treat each other well. And no false religions, no false teachings, no false gods. That is what's pleasing to God. That is what God is looking for. Also, God wants us, as talking with the children today, for us to know and do His word. And don't change His word, but His word. Jeremiah continued in verse 8. Behold, you trust in deceptive words. That's what the people were doing. They were trusting in deceptive words. And then he says to them, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal? Sounds like the Ten Commandments, right? And as our signboard mentioned, it's not choose which one. It's not a checklist. It's a whole list. All these are God's commands. All these are how God's people should live. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after gods that you have not known? Are you going to do all these things, verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name? So you're going to do all these things, and then come into the temple and say, oh, now I'm delivered because I'm in the temple. And then know how that ends, verse 10. Only to go on doing all these abominations. You did all these things. You came into the temple. We are delivered, but you keep doing these things. You never really repented. So they were thinking in Jeremiah's time that they had the building, the temple, the sacrifices. But they didn't have to listen to God's word. They didn't have to abide by God's word. They just had the place and they could go about the motions, but their behaviors and how they treated one another and how they treated the fatherless and the widow and the sojourner, that didn't matter. They had the building. Jeremiah says, nope. It's rather your life. It's rather the word of God. This is what is pleasing to God. You can have the building, but if what goes on in the building is not God's word, and what goes on in the life of God's people is not His will, and if they don't repent and amend their ways, that's not God with us. This happened over and over again among God's people. So that when the Son of God Himself was ministering and giving miracles, blessing people, forgiving people, teaching people, so many people in Jesus' very presence would not believe in Him or even say that you're of the devil. And going to Matthew 19 then, I read from, I have 45 and a few other verses there listed. And he, that's Jesus, he enters the temple. So the temple was destroyed in 586 BC, and then God allowed it to be built again. And Jesus is in that second temple, and he begins to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. The people had done exactly, again, what they did at Jeremiah's time. They were saying, we have the temple, we're safe, but the behaviors in life and how they used the temple and how they mistreated one another, that didn't change. But they had the temple, they thought they were safe. Same thing at Jesus' time. They thought the temple, they thought they were safe, but Jesus said, look what you're doing. This is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers. And you can see he's actually quoting that passage from Jeremiah. You're doing the same thing that they did at Jeremiah's time. How does Jesus, he drives out the robbers or the money changers. And then what does he do in the temple? Look at those very next verses. And he was teaching daily in the temple. What was the temple for? What was God's house for? The teachings of Jesus. And that's what he gave. He cleared out the wrong way of using it, and then he blessed the people with his teaching for days. That's what the temple needed, was the word of God, the teachings of Jesus. Verse 47, and he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. We don't like this. We don't like you, Jesus. You sent out our money changers. We don't want you here. We're trying to get rid of you. But then what does Matthew record? But they could not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his what? They were hanging on his words. The people, as Jesus scolded them and yelled at them, you're doing the wrong thing in the temple. This is supposed to be a place for prayer. You're treating it as a place of robbers. Just like Jeremiah. I'm quoting Jeremiah. But what you need is the word of God. And so he taught. And those against Jesus, they couldn't do anything against him at the time because the people knew that this is what they needed. They needed the words of Jesus. They were hanging on his words. That's what the people in the temple needed, was the teachings of Jesus. Doesn't matter that you have a soccer stadium. If you're a cheat, we're just going to fire you. That doesn't matter if you have an audience or you're famous. If you're a cheat, if you're a bad coach, we're just going to fire you. That's what the Ghanaians do. They just fire you. It doesn't matter whether you have a beautiful building or institution. Is God's word there? Are the teachings of Jesus there? That's what matters. We are tempted very frequently, here at Zion or at the larger church universal, in many places, we are tempted to say, oh, everything is fine because we have the building or the property or we have the institution, we have the organization, big or small, we must be fine. But over and over again, that can be a great temptation to mislead people. If God's word is not the central thing and focus, the teachings of Jesus Christ. That is what is central. And Jesus, he drove out those money changers, and then what did he do? He taught and taught and taught. And the people hung on his words. This is what we need. If we ever get confused or misdirected, we need God's word. This will lead us to him. And that is God with us. That is God with us. The first place I preached in Ghana, the first place was a log, we called it a fiac. People sitting on logs with grass shade, very simple. But God's word was there. And God's word is here. And God's word may be at a large place or a small place or a simple place. But where God's word is, where Christ is in his teaching, there is God. There is God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we trust in buildings or organizations as if that guarantees your presence. Forgive us when we disobey you and our behavior is bad. Forgive us for not valuing your word and your Son, Jesus Christ, above all. We ask you to continue to lead us in your will, to grant us to be with you and you with us in your word, and to know and trust that in your word, you bless us. And nothing can separate us from you in this love of Jesus Christ, your Son. All these things, Heavenly Father, we pray to you in his holy name. Amen.